Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Super Wild Card Weekend from Highmark Stadium.
The Patriots can mess around and go to the Super Bowl.
Telling you folks, it's staring you right in the face. If you don't believe it,
there's no doubt in my mind that this team can transform and compete and beat any team in the NFL.
They have a chance to contend for it all.
This team could compete for a Super Bowl, I think. I think other than Tennessee, I don't see any team that's clearly better than the Patriots right now.
Now here we go.
It was all a
false start. Offense number 47. 5-yard penalty. Still first down.
The fullback, Jakob Johnson, called on the false start.
Illegal contact. Defense, number 54. Grasping the face mask. Defense, number 95. 15-yard penalty. Automatic first down.
Play clock at zero.
Offense. 12 players in the huddle. Offense. 5-yard penalty.
New England, who does not want this to be a track meet, they've got to come back with an answer quickly.
Downfield dropped. Bolden, who has been so rock solid.
Number 33, not only did he peek into the backfield the entire way while playing zone, he slowed his feet about 10 yards into the route.
That's chicken broth in there. Get that chicken broth in there to keep you warm on this sideline.
Knox, stiff arm, major touchdown by Dawson Knox along the sideline.
Oh my goodness.
They got Adrian Phillips. Run from Bailey, Micah Hyde. Let's it back.
Remember we said New England did not want this to become a track meet? Stardust Pistol has been fired.
If you don't believe it, you need to. You need to.
Oh,
man.
Oh, it's so painful to listen to. Yeah. Yet it's very conflicting feelings with that song and what happened Saturday night. Very conflicting because I love the song. Put you in a good mood because I did feel like it was a dream. Like looking back, you feel like that was all just make-believe land. Like imagination land. Seven games of success. First team in the AFC thinking that you're going to roll through after a bye week and you only got four games left and two of them are two crappy teams, at least at the time. You thought you're on your way.
And we've talked about this game and we can sit there and talk about, I think they should have taken the ball. They should have deferred stuff we talked about in the week. They should have gone for it in fourth down. None of it would have mattered. I mean, they just got absolutely smoked by a better football team. Just that nobody thought that it was going to look like that. I mean, it was a historic beatdown. So the Buffalo Bills, this is from Brett Coleman. The Buffalo Bills had the NFL's first ever perfect offensive game. They had no punts, no picks, no fumbles lost, no field goals. All touchdowns on every single drive until the kneel downs. And they did it against a top five defense.
It's like a pitcher throwing a no hitter. A perfect game. A perfect game. Yeah.
This is so rare. Twice back to back.
It's so rare.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Josh Allen completed over 80% of his passes, so over 300 plus yards, and rushed for 50 yards and his five touchdowns. No quarterback during the Super Bowl era had ever done those things in a single game, regular season, or playoffs. Like, it was a historic. Did somebody tell Josh Allen that it was -7 all week long? Here's Josh Allen's numbers in the cold.
I think it was a lie.
He can't be Superman in the cold. There's no way he can play as well as he did in Foxborough when it was 47 degrees. No, he can play better.
They need to drug test him.
He can play better. Like it was, and you couldn't stop him. Like there's no small detail. We'll sit there. We can talk about the 4th and 1, 4th and 8. They should have went for it. Like I think the game was over when they deferred.
Oh,
yeah, okay. Really. I mean, I wanted the football. I didn't feel good right at that point on. But nothing they could have done would have changed the outcome of this game. This was a beatdown of epic proportions.
So you thought it was one big waste of time to even be out there at the coin toss when they decided to defer and take the ball.
I didn't like it. I didn't feel good about it.
Yeah, I tell you, you know what I know when I thought it was? Because I actually was thinking about this. I'm like, when did it all go wrong? When did I feel like it was going to be hopeless? And here's my play.
First down. Jones from midfield. Put some zip on it. Downfield. Dropped.
Dropped by?
Brandon Bolden.
Who doesn't drop anything.
Solid all year.
I've heard that.
Never messes up. Always in the right spot at the right time. He's wide open. They basically hand him the ball. Here you go. Take it. Shoot up real slowly. I don't want you to drop it. They hand it like it's a newborn baby. And he drops it right through his arm. Never happened. At that point, Tom was like, oh, this is bad.
Remember
this
the next play? It was a pass to Jacoby Myers, who was wide open. Beautiful ball to Jacoby. Unfortunately, Jonnu Smith made a great defensive play and tipped the ball away from him. What was that?
Yeah, it was. You know what's another one? Here's another one we didn't even mention yet. Okay. The touchdown pass to Dawson Knox. The very first possession of the Buffalo Bills. So Josh Allen scrambles around. Like 9.7 seconds, like the longest touchdown pass, amount of time it takes to throw a touchdown pass in like the last 4 years or something. Something crazy. And he's actually admitting that after the game that he tried to throw the ball away.
It looked like he was trying to throw
Dawson
the ball
Knox
away.
Well, Dawson Knox jumps up because Kyle Duggar's guarding him. He jumps up, catches the ball, he lands, and it's a touchdown. At that point in time, you should have sat there and said, huh, this isn't going well. Oh, here's another one, because I got a bunch.
Wait, hold on. That play was 2nd and 8. And you can't tell me that when he rolled out and threw that ball, your first thought was 3rd and 8. I thought he was throwing the ball away.
Yeah,
it looked like the way he threw
it
just looked
seconds.
Like he was throwing, and he admitted afterwards that he was actually trying to throw it away. But my first thought, when he let go of the ball, I'm like, nice, that's a stop. Okay, 3rd and 8, let's go. Next thing you know, Knox catches the ball, and you're like, what?
Yeah.
Touchdown.
9.64 seconds.
Let me give you one.
Okay, so, you got one, huh?
Yeah,
oh,
no,
it's not deferring?
One. No, I got one. Not, okay. It's not deferring, although I didn't feel good about it. So you come down, you put a good drive together. You can't tell me the pick six. You felt like the game was over because they actually moved the ball. It was a beautiful pass. And for that drive, it looked like Mac Jones had showed up to play. And I think Mac Jones was fine in this ball game. Beautiful catch by Micah Hyde, but I didn't sit there at that point saying it's over. They come right down the field, make it 14-0. You get the ball back, okay, after being down 14-0, and you get the ball on the your 25, they punt in the end zone. It's Harris for 5, Harris for 2, and you got 3rd and 3. And you hand the ball off to Harris again for 2 yards on 4th and 1. And you punt. At that point, I thought the game was over. You're down 14-0, and you came out and went run, run, run. On 4th and 1, you punted. Like at 3rd and 3, if you're running the football again at 3rd and 3, to me, you're pot committed. You're like, I we're getting a first down. Like if he gives me 2 and it's 4th and 1, I got to run it again. But 4th and 1? You can't tell me you were that scared about Mac Jones, given what you saw in the first drive. It was a beautiful play by Micah Hyde. Did they get scared? Did they take the ball out of Mac Jones' hands? After 14-0, run, 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 punt on 4th and 1? Like right there. And then, of course, they came right back down and make it 20-0. And he said, it's over. I mean, it's over. At that point, like it was done. How do you run the ball 3 times down 14-0?
I don't know. Especially, I think it was pretty clear at that point that your defense had no answers for their offense. That your defense couldn't stop them. Case in point, the first drive of the game, Buffalo Bills at 2nd and 10. It's and Josh Allen, drops back to throw, and he scrambles. He goes for 26 yards. And even though you've been preaching about Josh Allen scrambling the entire week, even after he rushed for 64 yards against you the last time, and Matthew Judon is in a perfect position to make a play, he makes one slight little move, and he goes for 26 yards. The fact is that you should have known at that point in time that you are going to have to push the envelope, you're going to have to be aggressive, and you're going to have to score points. They didn't punt once. Like, the only time they didn't score on a drive is when Mitchell Trubisky, the backup quarterback, took a knee to end the game. Like, that's it. Other than a couple missed extra points, they were flawless. It's ridiculous. So, listen, mistake. You should have identified it. Right away, that there's no possible way you're going to be able to keep up with them. This wasn't going to happen. Like, doomed from the beginning. So you pick your poison. When did you think it was over? There's plenty of examples of when I thought it was over. Pick one.
Well, Adrian Phillips, he spoke today. This is you just lost 47-17. You were trailing 33-3 midway through the third quarter. This is what Adrian Phillips had to say about these two teams.
Buffalo's a great team. What they got going over there is great, and you know they built up a nice roster. But I don't think the gap is huge at all. They just made the plays that were out there to be made, and we didn't make ours. And it's gonna be fun for the next few years. Look to see how it is at the end of those years. But I don't think it's a gap at all. I will always ride with what we got on this side, and I think that we're better than everybody else. We just got to go out there and prove it.
See, what do you expect them to say, right? But, I mean, what, they're that much better than us? I don't think you can say the gap isn't that big. They just made a few plays and we didn't. When you're trailing 33-3 and you lose 47-17, a couple of garbage touchdowns at the end to make it even whatever, still lost by 30. Like, if you lose that game 27-17, I don't mind those comments. You know, because they made a couple of plays we didn't make.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We split with them this year and this game here, and we lost, you know, 30-24 or 27-20 or whatever. But it was one of the most embarrassing defeats in the history of this organization. And to hear that from a defender who allowed this team to score on every single possession, a touchdown on every single possession, I'd say the gap is pretty big. It wasn't just a couple of plays. It was the entire game. Right?
Yeah, no, I expect nothing else but something like that from Adrian
Phillips. I'll ride with my team.
I'm never going to admit that we're worse or they just dominated us. And it just wasn't our day and we just got to make the plays. Do you think it's not like they didn't know what to do. Like defensively, Adrian Phillips gives up a touchdown to Dawson Knox, his second touchdown of the game after already scoring one on Kyle Duggar. Like every single play, it wasn't like they were out-schemed. They were out physical. They were out maneuvered. They were out just talent wise. Like Juwan Williams, you can make a case that they didn't have Jalen Mills and they had Juwan Williams and they had Miles Bryan and neither one of these guys should be starting. Hell, Juwan Williams has been a healthy scratch at least three times.
You can't do the health stuff here with you. I mean, they didn't have Tre'Davious White. You know, and I know I've talked about the Patriots' winning streak and teams they built and guys they were missing. I'm not putting Jalen Mills in that kind of category of Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, Ridley, Patterson, Chubb. Like, I'm not – you can't go there, right? So this team didn't have Tre'Davious White. Like, they're that much better than you right now. Let's get your reaction to this game. I know you guys want to vent a little bit. Let's go to Vin, who's actually out in Portland, Oregon. Go ahead, Vin.
Hey. Good to hear you guys. I think you're making an excellent point, Lou. What's getting obscured by last night's game, or we know the defense was the problem. What gets obscured is the offense. Let's say it was a shootout. Who do we think would have won? Let's be honest.
Buffalo.
Josh Allen, Tom Curran said last night, is the number one weapon in the AFC East. He can run. He can throw. He's as good as any other player. So I think what gets obscured is even if the defense was decent, but they turned into a shootout, they would not have won because I believe Mac Jones is a good player, maybe a 270 hitter in baseball terms, but not a great quarterback.
Hmm.
So the question is if you improve the defense, how good, what's the ceiling for Mac Jones relative to Josh Allen? That's the first thing. The second thing is Mike Holley said last night, and I don't know if you caught this, but he said that I think you mentioned it earlier, that he doesn't believe the Bills are a good team. And then he followed that up because I know Matt Castle was saying, you know, they played the teams that they were supposed to play. And Mike had a classic line. He said, if were a fifth, we'd all be drunk. And I didn't get it, but then he was basically trying to say with all these ifs that perhaps the Patriots were better than they were and the Bills weren't as good as they were.
Wow.
And I just can't accept that. I'm a Pats fan, but
thanks.
This is
Bills
what we are the top team.
And thanks, Vin. I appreciate the call. We got to move
this
on.
Is what
a lot
we
of people
do.
In line.
This is what they do.
The
like,
question
go
about
to another
Mac
one.
Jones is, here's the reality. We won't really know for a couple years. Like, he had a good rookie year. You know, he's a competent quarterback in this league. I like the way he looked in that game. You know what I mean? I do. The second interception, he probably shouldn't have thrown us some traffic there. Whatever. Got tipped. I get it. But, you know, the reality is we won't know. Like, we won't know. Like, I think if you sit there and you say that I know that he's going to be a star, I think you're just hoping. You know, but we don't know. We'll find out more, you know, as the years go on here. Well, we're going to break right now. All right, let's take a break. We might have Matthew Slater here, hopefully on the other side. We'll talk to the captain of the New England Patriots. We'll do it next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Back to Maroney and Fourier on WEEI.
Welcome back to the show. It is a Patriots Monday. And our conversation with Matthew Slater is brought to you by Mass General Cancer Center, Everyday Amazing, Northeast Men's Health, the experts in men's sexual health at northeastmenshealth.com, Unified Office and their revenue-saving restaurant phone technology, and by Arbella, here for New England, here for good. And joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is the captain of the New England Patriots, Matthew Slater. Matthew, how you doing? Lou and Christian here.
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, guys. How you guys doing?
Doing good, Matthew. So, listen, Matthew, you played, been in the league a long time. You've seen a lot. How do you make sense of a loss like this?
Yeah, you know, it's really tough to make sense of it. You work so hard all season long. You feel like you're getting close. You're turning the corner. And obviously, Buffalo was a team we had played multiple times. And, you know, it's just not the outing that we had hoped for. And, you know, I was talking to my dad about this. He's like, look, if you play in this league long enough, it happens to us all, and unfortunately, the other night just wasn't our night.
You know, Matthew, was there a moment in the game where you're like, uh-oh, we don't have it today?
Well, you know, you try not to think that way during the game, but certainly when you look up and see the score and, you know, you're down by 30 late in the game, you know, hey, look, it's not our day. But I don't think there was one moment in the game where I felt like, oh, we don't have it. You know, you just focus on trying to compete and make plays and hopefully get yourself back in the game.
We're talking to Matthew Slater. Matthew, obviously it's a very talented offense. Josh Allen just seems like a special quarterback in this league. But like the third time you played them, was there something new, something different you think they showed this defense?
You know, it's tough for me to say. I don't want to really comment on what was going on the defensive side of the ball, but I will say that, you know, you really have to tip your hat to Coach Daboll and obviously Josh Allen. Coach Daboll had a great game plan, and we know him well, haven't been here. But I think Josh Allen is one of the special talents in our league. He showed that the other night. There are not many things that he can't do. And, you know, he was on his game. He played about as well as he could have played, and, you know, unfortunately it was against us.
Have you seen when you look at a guy like Josh Allen? Do you fear for the AFC East and the other teams that are going to have to deal with him for the next, I don't know, 8 years?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, this guy's going to be a problem. And if you play in the AFC East, you're going to have to deal with him. And that's the bottom line. So, look, teams, we've always felt like teams are chasing after one another. One team sets the bar 1 year. The rest are chasing. Obviously, the Bills set the bar this year with their performance and win the division. So we're all going to be chasing them next year.
So, Matthew, obviously this year kind of ups and downs at different points. But, you know, people go back to that bye week, and there are different opinions of, you know, maybe what happened during that week. Because it wasn't the same coming out of that bye week. Is there something you could put a finger on, the way you played coming out of that bye?
Yeah, you know, it's tough to really put a finger on it. But needless to say, disappointed with the way we played following the bye. Just wasn't up to the standard that we had set for ourselves the previous 7 weeks. And, you know, you can attribute it to a number of things. I'm not sure what it was exactly, but, you know, it goes without saying we didn't finish the year as strongly as we would have liked. And if you don't do that, you end up home this time of year, and that's where we are.
So can you share what the message was that Bill gave to the team? But there, I guess I would call it your guys' exit meeting.
Well, yeah, you know, I don't want to get too deep into what Coach said to the team, but, you know, the coach is always going to push this team. We know what the standard is around here. He's going to coach us to win. We're going to play to win, and that's going to be the expectation year after year. So, you know, obviously there are a lot of things that we'll look to get better at moving forward, and hopefully we can do that.
Talking to Patriots captain Matthew Slater. And Matthew, a lot of us, you look at that first year on Mac Jones and you know, he played in this playoff game, and I thought like he was engaged, and I thought he played well, you know, especially in this game. You've seen him each and every day. How would you look back at year one of one Mac Jones?
You know, look, I said it after the game. I feel like he's a perfect young man to build around, and not only because of his play, but most importantly because of his character. It's tough playing quarterback in this league. It might be one of the hardest things to do in professional sports is be a starting quarterback. And I think he continued to work and improve each and every day. He pushed himself and was harder on himself than anybody else in the building could be. And he certainly made strides. So, you know, we're all of New England and Patriots fans, players, staff, we all will support this young man and look forward to what the future holds for him.
You know, okay, Matthew, I want you to be honest now, okay? do you think he's a little too uptight and too serious? Too robotic?
No, I mean, look, every guy has every guy's personality suits him. And I think, you know, Mac's been the way he's been for the entirety of his football playing career, and it's led to success for him. So you can't ask guys to change their character and who they are. If they have a formula that leads to success for them, then you encourage them to stick with it. And obviously, as professionals and as men, as we get older, we evolve in many ways, and I'm sure that'll be the case with him as well. But, you know, I appreciate the serious nature that he takes when approaching the game, especially playing that position. And, you know, like I said, we all support him.
All right, so we're talking to Matthew Slater, just all-around great guy and old guy. You're the old guy now. I love it.
I know.
So, listen, Gerard Mayo. Getting a lot of attention from other teams out there. Do you think he's ready to be a head coach?
I certainly do. And I'm biased. Gerard and I were drafted the same year, and he's been a close friend. And I've gotten a front row seat to see him develop as a player and now as a coach. And I just think, you know, when you talk about leadership skills, when you talk about football IQ, all the things that it takes to be a good football coach, and the communication and so on and so forth, he possesses all of those things. So I think, you know, we'll see what's in store for him moving forward, but I think he'd make a tremendous head coach. I think any organization would be fortunate to have a man like Gerard Mayo at the helm.
We're talking to Matthew Slater. Matthew, obviously here on Martin Luther King Day, I was reading that the Slater Family Foundation, you guys partnered up with three other organizations, visited several sites down in Providence. Just thought I'd maybe give you an opportunity to talk about what went on the event here today and what today just means to you.
Yeah, I appreciate you asking that. You know, obviously, as a Black American, this is a day that I'm very thankful for, and Dr. King is a person that I'm very thankful for. But I think all Americans should be proud to to have, be associated with a man like Dr. King and the strides that he made towards bringing this country together and obviously giving a level playing ground for all Americans, regardless of their color. For us, it was a great opportunity to give back to the community. Providence is a community that we love dearly, and we know that there are people in need in Providence, and we want those people to know that they're seen, they're heard, they're valued, and people in positions like the ones we're in care about them. So it was great for our foundation to be able to do that. My wife really spearheaded the effort, and so glad that we could provide that support and as a celebration of Dr. King's birthday.
All right, Matthew, it's time for the question of the week, sponsored by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in men's sexual health, with locations in Dedham, near Legacy Place, and in Salem, New Hampshire, or online at northeastmenshealth.com. All right, you're 36 years old. You're a free agent. Are you going to be back next year playing in the NFL?
You know, that's the question that I'm faced with, and you know, that's a decision that my family and I are going to have to make, and you know, I'm gonna take my time, try to make an informed decision, talk to the powers that be, and then pray about it, and go from there. So I can either say yay or nay at this point. We just think about it and see how things go.
Well, let me ask you this: as a guy that was 36 when he retired, do you feel like your body has another year left in it?
Well, you know, I was pleased with the way I felt physically as we got towards the end of the season. Our training staff has done so much to help me and prepare me, and our strength staff has done the same. So, you know, I didn't feel like I was 36. Maybe I felt like I was 33, 34.
There you go.
But you know how it is, Christian. When you get to the end of the season, there's a lot involved emotionally, physically. You kind of have to give some time to get away from that, decompress, and then you know, you act accordingly after that.
Sure. So, I mean, 10th Pro Bowl, I mean, you know, he's still playing at a high level. I was just curious, do you ever think about coaching in your future? Or is that something when you're done, you're done?
I don't think my wife's going to let me do that. That time commitment is. That's a pretty serious time commitment. You know, I'd love to maybe coach at the high school level or the youth level. Mm-hmm. You know, I love the game. The game's been good to me. It's been good to my family. I've been around it my whole life, so I'd like to keep involved in some capacity. We'll just see how that goes.
All right, so last one before we let you go. Okay, so the season's over, right? So every single day, every minute has been taken up with football or some aspect of football, right? So the season's
right.
Over, you're done. Is there, like, anything, like, you do, like, the first thing you need to do? Like, what's the first thing on Matthew Slater's honey-do list now that the season is over?
Oh, gosh. That honey-do list is long now. Well, when we went to bed last night, my wife was like, whatever time the kids get up and whoever gets up, you got them. And, of course, my two-year-old gets up at like 4:30 and he said, I'm ready to eat breakfast. So welcome to the off season. I was up with my two-year-old this morning rummaging through the cabinets trying to get myself awake. But there's nothing better than being a dad, and I look forward to that time at home.
Well, Matthew, let me say this. There are a lot of people, I think, that have either met you or have heard you speak over the years. I think everybody would love to have you on the field for what you do on the field, what you do off the field. But obviously, whatever you choose to do in your life, we wish you all the best. You are a class act, my friend, and good luck.
I certainly appreciate that. Thank you very much.
All right. Matthew Slater, appreciate the time, buddy. Thank you.
Radio's always
Take
an easy
care,
job.
Guys.
Radio's easy. I mean, you kind of get up. You can wear whatever you want. Just
yeah.
roll in
yeah.
butt naked if you really
it.
Want.
I mean, he is a stud, though, ain't he? Like, he's just a good
he's
dude.
Like he's kind of like a politician. Like, if yeah. you were going to, like, a well-polished politician that's always saying the right thing, never really yeah. pissing anybody off. He's very measured, and his tone is perfect, and his cadence is perfect. It makes you feel like a jerk. I feel worse when I talk to Matthew
yeah,
Slater.
Yeah, just saying.
Look, I'm 4 serious. O'clock comes around.
Like, he's the type of guy. Like, I'm serious. Like, he's just the type of guy. I think, you know, as a Patriot fan, you kind of want him around still. Because you
in
just
some
the
capacity.
Influence he would have, like, in that
yeah.
locker room. He's just a good dude.
You know what I would think for a guy like that? He's like one of those legacy guys. Like, listen, he's from L.A., went to high school out there. You know, dad was a big Ram out there. And you wonder if these guys will go home. But then you think of guys like Troy Brown and others that have kind of, you know, been part, like, I can tell he doesn't want to be a coach. That life sucks.
Yeah, it's tough.
Okay, you want to be committed, and you want normal hours, but you don't want them, you know, you don't want to stay there till 2 a.m., go home, and come back at 4. Like, that is no life for a guy that's been in the league as long as he has been.
Yeah. Now, you know, it'll be interesting. I swear, like, you know, you keep talking about this, at what happened at the bye week, what happened at the bye week. And I'm not saying that's going to be like what happened to Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl. But I think when you look back at this year, you will sit there and say, what the hell happened during that bye week?
Yeah.
You know, that made they were playing such good football. And again, maybe it was just the competition level. Maybe it was just the stress of meaningful games and the competition levels, you know, stressed out this team to the point where they started going back to say, making those same uncharacteristic mistakes that they made the first 4, 5, 6 weeks, which is one of the reasons why we talked about last year might have been Bill's one of his better coaching years, taking that team to 7 wins because that roster was 4. But this year, you could argue that this was one of the most poorly coached Patriot teams we've seen under Bill.
Wow, I tell you what,
the mistakes that they made, uncharacteristic mistakes, over and over and over again.
And again, I think if you blind, you know, tested this theory and you remove the Patriots logo and Bill as the head coach and you said, here's a team, and you said, here's all the examples.
You started
all the
listing
bad things
all the examples.
You would say yeah. If it was the Raiders, it was the Dallas Cowboys who had 14 penalties in that game yesterday, you would say, that's a poorly coached team. It's a poorly coached team. It's like, it's almost like taboo to say it, though. Don't you feel like?
No, it is.
If you say a Bill Belichick team is poorly coached, I feel like a bolt of lightning is going to strike us.
But it's the truth. Like, that's, you're absolutely right. If you took the jersey off and the coach away, the head coach away, and you started listing off the examples of what this team did, and you started looking at breaking down each game and the costly mistakes they made and how they constantly weren't ready to play, like in that first, you know, half of the first quarter. To start the game, if they weren't ready to play, like they weren't a lot of times coming out of halftime, special teams, and you know it's the truth. It has to do with green.
He just got struck.
But the greenness of like the coaches around.
Oh, Jesus! Don't say it again, Lou.
And maybe it's just the coaches around them. And I was like, oh, what happens when you're good? Coaches leave. Coaches been leaving here for the last 15, 20 years, and Bill's replaced them with grown-ups. Replaced them with good coaches. Maybe it just ran dry. You know, you think about the veteran coaches on this team, Ivan Fierce. Think about the rookie running back and the second-year running back the first 3 or 4 or 5 weeks. Were they not a mess?
They were a mess.
Fumbling, can't pick up the blitz, can't do anything. Right. How'd they look at the end of the year?
No issues.
No issues
didn't
at
fumble,
all.
Didn't fumble again and picked up every blitz.
Veteran coach.
Yeah.
Can you say that about the rest of them?
Well, see,
teams?
I do think, but I think it's more than just, like, if you were just going to say, hey, they had 8 penalties and, you know, and that was it. I think you would need it to be transcribed as far as, you know, what exactly happened. Like, hey, the circumstances was this, and they had 12 guys on the field. Hey, they were coming off a bye, and they got a punt blocked. The team that blocked the punt didn't run a punt block play. The guy just got beat. You had a veteran guy line up over the center where he knows not to go there. You had a procedure penalty by your quarterback trying to draw the team off sides. The manner of the mistakes, I think, is actually worse when you actually voice and explain to them exactly what happened.
Right. Like a delay of games with a young quarterback, that's explainable. That's going to happen. 12 men in the huddle in a playoff game? Like too many men in the field defensively? How about not enough people on the field defensively? We've had that a couple times.
That happened a lot.
10 men? You know, just all of it combined. You're just like, holy.
Would you say that the little things... Would you say that the little things hurt them more this year than any other year in the past?
Yeah. I mean, when you look at like the 7 losses in the regular season, you know, we can go back to that Miami game and how you basically handed them in a fumble, right? But you know, and you could have won that game. You know, you're basically a couple of wins away from having a bye watching everybody else bust their ass this past weekend. And maybe it wouldn't have changed anything. Maybe next week you would have got your ass whooped at home against, you know, the Chiefs or the Bills or the Bengals or whatever. But you can't tell me there was a couple games in there that if you didn't just... I mean, even that Indianapolis game, blocked punt, the third blocked punt of the year, went back for a touchdown. You were in that game to the end. You know, you don't block that. You know, they don't get that. Maybe you win that game.
You throw a pick
at the end of the first half. You throw a pick coming out of the third quarter in that game. It's like, God, you just handed them that game.
Yeah, so I would say, so with that discussion, that little quick discussion that we just had, the little things killed them. Like, little things. I would say, with all that, you still made it to the playoffs. At one point in time, after the first time you played the Buffalo Bills, you were the number one seed in the AFC. You had a bye week. You had a crappy game after the bye week. What happened after the bye week? I don't know. What's the deal with the Bermuda Triangle? I have no idea. Planes get lost there.
Followed by their second worst game of the year at home against Buffalo. Second worst, then, because this one on Saturday was your worst.
My point is that you should
an
be...
An awful game down in Miami.
As bad as that was, you should feel, I guess, comfortable that Bill's track record is that they'll figure it out, right? Wouldn't you bet, if you were to say, hey, make a bet right now. Bill's going to get this team right, and those little things aren't going to affect them anymore. That's 11 wins.
Christian, what if I told you that the last 3 years, the team has gotten worse the last 4 weeks of the season?
Well, and I would say let's break them up and discuss why.
2-2 under Tom.
I would say
they
look
played
at,
awful down the stretch.
I would say look at Brady. I would say
worse under Cam. He got worse.
Yep.
And that wasn't a very good team. He got worse this year after being a number one seed, 1-3 down the stretch. I mean,
so the Patriots aren't finishers. Listen, it could be. I'm not saying that it's not the case, and I would say if it keeps going, it's definitely.
And I'm not saying it's all on Bill. He's a great coach, greatest of all time. But I think Alex Cora is a great coach too. Not in a Bills class, but he's a good baseball coach. Mm. And his team looked like fundamentally they were awful, poorly coached team. I just think it was this one too. I'd say, you know what, Joe Judge, bring him back, put him in special teams.
Yeah.
Brian Flores, if he doesn't get a job, bring him back. Put him defensive coordinator. He never would do that in a million years. But I'm just saying, get some adults back into the room again. I don't know, maybe bring Matt Patricia down. Give him a group, linebackers, D-line, something.
Yeah.
Like just guys that
get
have been around a
office.
Little bit. That's all. And I think you spread yourself too thin. He's done a great job of just sort of turning over these coaches over the years. But this year, boy, I don't know. Something went wrong somewhere because this team was not coached properly. Let's go to Paul in New Hampshire. Paul, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How are you this afternoon?
Good.
Loving the show. Loving the show. 33% better since O left.
There you go.
Anyway, you guys are finally talking about it. This whole thing is, I look at Steve Belichick, and this guy's not a defensive coordinator, and I've seen more than enough evidence to prove that he has no business calling defensive plays. I mean, not a single safety blitz, not a single corner blitz. Just let's play a soft zone and Josh Allen, the downfield, the center field is wherever he's standing, and he just runs sideline to sideline, and everything down in front of him is wide open. I understand the players made mistakes. It was a lot of drops. My other quick point, if I may, Mac Jones is not a rookie. He's the rookie. 5 years ago, that kid was in high school, and now he's quarterback for the New England Patriots. Arguably the most premier team in the league for the last 20 years. Slack. Maybe
I do think
the best ever.
Thanks, Paul. I appreciate it. But I do think, and maybe we'll get to this tomorrow, as far as this the relationship from between Bill and his kids. And as far as if
tough
Steve
when you got
Belichick,
two defensive coaches and the defense got shredded like that. Kids.
Why is it that Gerard Mayo is getting head coaching calls and interviews, and we all kind of assume that Steve Belichick is in charge of the defense? Like he has bragging rights. Maybe he doesn't have the title, but he's definitely ahead.
All right, listen, we still got a couple calls we'll answer at the end of the break. We got last call coming up because we got just an epic flip-flop. Your man, Colin Cowherd?
Yeah.
I mean, he's just all over the map when it comes to Mac Jones. You'll hear the latest. That's coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, let's get right to your phone calls. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Tucker in Braintree talking about this rebuild. Go ahead, Tucker. What's up?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say I'm a big fan of the show. I watched Christian play at CU and been a Sox fan my whole life. I'm also a diehard Bills fan. And I wanted you guys to talk a little bit about how, you know, the Bills, the way the Bills rebuilt is something that you guys should probably look at as kind of a little bit of a blueprint as far as, you know, what it takes. I mean, when you look at what we went through to rebuild our team with, you know, when we had Tyrod and we got rid of Sammy Watkins and Robert Woods and our good friend Stephon Gilmore, you know, we had to get rid of all of those guys to position ourselves in the draft to, you know, to get Josh Allen and to pick some of our young guys that have paid off. And I mean, you know, Brandon Bean, and I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd take Bill Belichick. He could come in and win. He could come in and win the Super Bowl with Daboll and Frazier right now, like today. And
thanks for it, Tucker. We've been talking about the rebuild. Unfortunately, like, you know, we talk about the Bills rebuild, you're just talking about the last one, like the last attempt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
This one, like, they've done it seven times.
Like the one that worked.
Yeah.
Like, let's talk about that one.
Yeah. How many coaches? How many GMs? How many quarterbacks?
We're talking about the three or four attempts at it prior?
Yeah. The fifth time usually works.
Yeah.
So far, they've done it better than you with one try.
Yeah, I would say you didn't draft EJ Manuel. You know what I mean? Like, you drafted
Christian Ponder.
Yeah, you drafted a guy that can play. Now, is he Josh Allen? No. But he's not EJ Manuel. So, you know, again, go back to the blueprint of the Buffalo Bills. It's like, yeah, the last one. I don't know if you want to do the previous 15, 20 years. Let's go to Tony in Worcester. Tony, what's going on, man?
Hey, man. Talking to a spouse of a Bills fan here, and it was very difficult in my house. But I called about nepotism and why you don't hire your relatives and why you don't rent to your relatives, because it never works out. It always goes bad. And even if it doesn't go bad, it could go bad, really bad. And this, the problem with this defense, the way it, after the bye, the way it collapsed, the way it went down the toilet, all the way down the toilet, all the way to this last game, has to be on Steve Belichick, and it has to, by extension, be on Bill Belichick for hiring this know-nothing kid. This kid has no vet experience. All he has is a Belichick name, and now Bill's stuck with him. And I would not want to fire my own kid. So what does that mean? We're stuck with him unless somebody else hires him, and nobody's going to hire him.
Oh, they're bringing a defensive coordinator.
And Tony, that's interesting, and I think, Christian, you just hit on it. I think I want to do a little bit more of it maybe tomorrow. But you're right. You bring in Steve Belichick, you give him that great job, and if he's doing a great job, fantastic. But what if you're not happy with his job? What do you do with your kid? So the only way to get out of it is to find a veteran defensive coordinator and finally hire, like, and name him one, right? And just sort of say, okay, Steve, listen, you're back in charge of the linebackers.
Do rankings mean anything to you as far as does your defensive rank? Because the only calling card, I guess, for a defensive coordinator would be your rankings. They got a top five defense. So they played terrible in the most important game of the year. But if you're just using stats, I guess, to back your guy, then they're not the 32nd defense in the NFL. Yeah, they're like the second scoring defense in the NFL.
Yeah, and the final numbers are good. Bill, like you said,
do they matter, though?
See, I would rather look at it. Maybe this is an exercise you could do, like, kind of throughout the night and into tomorrow and come up with, like, this defense versus, say, I don't know, top 10, top 15 offenses. We know that six of these 10 regular season wins came against teams that are picking in the top 8 in the draft. So what was the defense against competent offenses? Like, did they go up against a great offense and stop them? Probably Tampa Bay. Because defensively, that was a pretty close game, close effort. We all felt like that was kind of like a little strange game for one Tom Brady coming back to Gillette. But, I mean, no, I'm just saying, you look at some of the good offenses. You know, Tennessee might be a good offense, but don't look at them. They didn't have anybody. The reason why they're a good offense, they didn't have any of them. So how many good offenses did he go up against, and how did he do against them? We said that first game up in Buffalo,
the best defensive player they had was the wind. It wasn't really a player or a scheme or anything.
Mother
was it?
Nature.
I mean, it's Mother Nature.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the only time they stopped Josh Allen in the last couple of years was because of 65-mile-an-hour swirling crosswinds. All right, last call is brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easy way to donate your car. You can donate today and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to Cars for Kids or give them a call at 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Colin Cowherd. If you remember, we played this a couple times because he sort of switched his take on one Mac Jones. This was Colin Cowherd pre-draft because Mel Kiper was hyping up Mac Jones. This was Colin Cowherd. What do you thought of Mac Jones at that point?
Mac Jones ain't going to work, folks. It's not going to work. You just got to come to terms with it. It's not going to work.
Just didn't like him. It's just not going to work. Come to terms with it. However, in the beginning and middle of the year, rather, when the Patriots were winning football and football games and Mac Jones was playing well, this was his take on Mac Jones then.
Folks, young Mac Jones looks like young Tom Brady. You need to just put your arms around it because that's exactly what it looks like.
So if he looks like a young Tom Brady, who's the greatest of all time, then you're in pretty good shape.
Mac Jones
right?
ain't going to work, folks. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
Young Mac Jones looks like young Tom Brady.
Right?
You just got to come to terms with it. It's not going to work. You need to just put your arms around it.
That's amazing.
So he's all over the map. But hey, he's a young Tom Brady, young greatest quarterback of all time. He's a man you build around the future, correct? No, no, no. Colin Cowherd today going now talking about Mac Jones again.
Josh Allen in the last two games has been so devastating, unstoppable, and jaw-dropping. Could Belichick be thinking, I probably got to trade Mac Jones, because if this is a gunfight, I'm not sufficiently armed. The league has changed. Belichick's 70. Mac Jones has value. He is a free player for 3 years at the most vital position. Belichick wants Super Bowls. Mahomes, Herbert, Burrow, Josh Allen. Good luck being absolutely a tier below. You can't tell me they couldn't get value for Mac Jones.
Mm. So if you got a young Tom Brady, why would you trade him?
There's now, value.
Yeah, but now all of a sudden you
can't. Listening?
But well, now it's you a can't win with him. Now you can't win with him in a gunfight. But I thought he was a young Tom Brady.
Yeah, Josh Allen's got like a bazooka, and Mac Jones has a pea shooter.
So now he's coming back to he can't.
He's a tier below. Right now they are a tier below, though. That is the case.
Boy, are you nervous about tonight's game? Cardinals, Rams.
Yeah, I need the Cardinals.
I need
the Cardinals. I am a little nervous. I can't go down. I need to. You know, make up some space between you.
So
and
I got the Rams at plus minus 4.5. You and Fitzy have the Rams at. Actually, you have the Cardinals plus 4.5. Right.
Yes,
sir. And if the Rams win, I'm in really good shape. If they lose, we're right back in the middle of this thing. Tyler, what do you got?
What's your reaction to, and I had this in trending, it was Ian Rappaport saying the Raiders have requested Gerard Mayo to interview for the head coaching job, we know that, as well as the Patriots director of player personnel, Dave Ziegler, for the GM job, currently held by Mike Mayock. They have not fired their interim head coach, Rich Bisaccia, and Mike Mayock still the GM, and yet the Raiders went to interview two Patriots guys for both positions, which aren't open.
So the Bisaccia is, okay, he's still like
you
the
understand.
Interim. We get that one. But you're going to bring in a GM to interview for the GM job that Mike Mayock still holds?
It's never happened before, it according is weird. To Field Yates.
I heard that in trending. I was like, this doesn't make any sense because I was like, did Mike Mayock get fired?
Well, my response is, well, he's got to be gone because there's no way you'd bring in a GM to interview. Who's going to interview him? Mayock?
Hey, yeah, this guy sucked. This guy's terrible. He doesn't know anything.
It'll actually be Mark Davis. Mark Davis will interview.
This guy's such a novice.
They still have a GM. They haven't fired Mayock, and they're bringing in a GM.
Yeah. Wow. I just want to kick the tires.
All right. So we got Mutt's going to be in here. I think Andy Hart's going to be in here. He can break down the game a little bit, leading you right up to that playoff game. Wild card weekend ends tonight. Cardinals, they are at the Rams. Let's go, Rams. All right, listen, we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Ben Volen will be in studio. Take a look back at the season. Get more into this Patriots defeat against the Buffalo Bills. Have a great night, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow, too.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.